Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
I have a leg injury and a foot injury right now.
A leg and a foot. Are they on the same
side of my body?
Side of your body?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Left.
What happened to you?
I got stung by a bee. And then I think I got stung by another bee.
Oh, come on.
I think I did.
When did this happen?
Last night. Last night. Who knew?
It's Mike Schoep.
Just never thought about getting stung by a bee at night.
I don't know.
But there would still be bees at night.
I guess.
That to sound like the flat earth thing.
Right,
the bees just don't disappear when it gets dark.
Okay, but I've never seen one at night.
Well, it's dark.
And the bulldog.
Maybe they would not be out at night, but you disturbed it, so it came out and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, they weren't expecting me.
I'm in here trying to watch the Vietnam War on PBS,
right.
And you're what are you doing sitting down in the chair? This is my time.
You are not supposed to.
Right.
This is our time.
Right.
That's what the bee said.
Right. So
on behalf of the other bees.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
No idea how old the clip is. It's old, but were the Sabres in the playoffs? Like, this is our time, isn't that? This the year I'm thinking of? Is this the year? Ryan Miller on Versus ads promoting the NHL.
Wow, Versus.
Is this the year? Remember that campaign?
And Yes. Him with the racquetballs against the brick wall.
Yes.
Throwing them hand-eye coordination. I used to love watching my kid do that when he was a goalie. Yeah, that was that. The clip is old enough that I know that I've been tortured for years with – For not having the presence of mind in the moment to say Vietnam War on BBS instead of the Vietnam War on PBS. The Vietnam War on the B broadcast, I would have felt so much better about that.
Not everything has to be a pun.
No, I know, but I would have really liked it.
I think I like it more the real way.
Well, thank you.
Evan Silva, our guest on the Wester Hotline, if he hasn't bailed already. I wouldn't blame him. I love our chats with Evan, especially leading up to the NFL draft. I don't know, Evan, maybe this is too easy, but listening to your podcast that ETR put up today with yourself and Anthony and Adam Levitan, you have a different energy when we're talking draft props, I think. It's undeniable. Like, you are here for this conversation.
Yeah, I could actually feel myself during that podcast, like, just the energy comes out a little bit more. No question. I mean, you know, we got a money-making opportunity. In 2021, I had like a massive year betting on the draft. In 2022, I had a really good year. Last year, it wasn't as good. And I feel like the sports books might be catching up. They certainly have gotten sharper and not leaving themselves out with as much liability as they did in the previous couple of years.
It did seem that way, even though in New York we can't bet the draft. The example that I referenced maybe yesterday with Bulldog and other times when promoting your appearances with us is when 2 years ago, the Bills, very much like now, were talked about for a wide receiver. This has been true for a few years. Like now it's just more obvious. But we got to Chris Olave, and you said New Orleans is not passing on Chris Olave. Like, just matter-of-factly, you know, boom.
Yeah, yeah. They needed a wideout, too.
they needed that one.
They got a good one, and they got a good one.
They did. Is it so obvious this year? Like, are the Bills interesting even at 28? I think maybe it's more interesting whether they move than whether they pick a wideout.
Yeah, I mean, well, they have 11 draft picks, if I'm not mistaken.
10 now. They traded two picks with the Diggs trade and got one back, so they're down to 10, I think, now.
Okay, so they're down to 10, and they have the extra second rounder next year that maybe they could use as ammunition to move up if they want to. But I think that they might, because of the depth of the wide receiver class. And I mean, there are 17 wide receivers, maybe upwards of 20, that I think could go within the first three or four rounds. I expect them to pick multiple wide receivers. That actually is in the background of Brandon Bean to be willing to, you know, take multiple players at the same position in, you know, a given draft. And I think that that's what they're probably going to do as opposed to moving up.
Yeah, as an example, 2 years ago, we talked about corner endlessly, so much so that when Brandon Bean came out of even round one, he mentioned how everybody was telling me we needed corner. So they drafted Elam, and that hasn't gone well. But they also then drafted Christian Benford later that same year, I think in the sixth round, and he's turned into a much better player, a starting caliber player now for them. So there's an example pretty recently of them double dipping at a perceived position of need.
Exactly. I mean, I've wondered if they might actually go defensive back in the first couple rounds this year. Offensive line, I think, could still use some help, but there's no doubt that the focus is on wide receiver. And again, I think we can expect them to take two, if not three.
It's interesting to me that they don't have a third for all the picks that they have. Because a lot of times in our conversations, we get to, well, day two. I mean, the three of us could rattle off up to 20 names of wide receivers we've talked about here and there that might be worthy. There's one worthy of, sorry, that's bold. You're the pun guy. I know you want to, of day two, but they don't have a third round pick. And I kind of wish they did because just the flexibility you have with that. And I don't know, is somebody going to want to trade their third for a fourth and a fifth or something like that? Maybe. I mean, that stuff happens, but I like that round for what their needs are.
Yeah, and I think that what's interesting is when they do target wide receivers, first of all, do they think that, like, Mac Hollins can fill the Gabe Davis role and then they go for a guy who's maybe better in the middle of the field, or do they go for a perimeter wide receiver in A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Mm-hmm. Because he's a pure perimeter guy. And, that's what they're missing when they lose Gabe Davis, who was a pure perimeter guy.
Right. The problem with that particular player, Mitchell, is he already seems to have a reputation for not digging into the dirty stuff in the game. And Davis was on the field all the time for the Bills, despite a lack of production because of his prowess. He was willing to do the grunt stuff, right? I'm gonna be devoted to blocking, and the Bills really respected that. So I don't know if Mitchell, like, body type wise, he is a fit there, but I don't know if style wise that works.
I would agree with that.
Who do you like, if you have a name, Evan, for them the most? Where all the receivers, like I said, that are in the conversation, some are trading up candidates. That's even been speculated. And of course, there are a lot when you go the other way. Do you have a player you like the most for them?
I mean, if they were to trade up, you know, Rome Odunze, I think, would be the ideal kind of target. You got to get way up, though. I mean, where they're at, what, 28?
Yeah.
And they probably have to get into the top eight to go after someone like Rome Odunze, because I don't think that he gets past the Bears at number nine. So that would require a lot of draft capital, but I think that he would be the ideal target for them.
With Evan Silva of Establish the Run, do you happen to know, and I'm sorry if I'm putting you on the spot here in a way that's, I know you're probably driving, like at pick 28, we can't bet the draft. I wish I could just sort of look this up. But, like, odds for what the Bills do, is there any interesting action that you know of pertaining to them?
The last that I looked, it's like they're strongly expected to take a wide receiver there, mm-hmm. you know, which really should come as no surprise to anyone.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wide receivers in general, I know one of the topics you guys debated on the ETR podcast was how many go in the first round. You have Buffalo and Kansas City at the back of the pack there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Detroit might even be interesting for one of these receivers. That line I heard from you and your show was 6.5. Mm-hmm. Do you think it gets any higher than that?
I would say no, because I think that what could happen this year is I think at least four quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. The offensive tackle class drops off pretty significantly after about the number six offensive tackle. And I think that, you know, I mean, there are people that are plugged in that believe that all six of those are going to go in the top 15 because of position scarcity. And there's no position scarcity at wide receiver, you know? So I wonder if that dynamic might lead to wide receivers kind of falling a bit past where they might currently be projected. Not the top guys, not Rome Odunze and those guys up top, but, you know, guys like A.D. Mitchell, guys like Troy Franklin.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Brian Thomas Jr. fits in there, although he's been mostly sort of in between, right? I feel like there's this group of guys we've already talked about, Ladd McConkey, Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, that are like, you know, 20s and like in the Bills neighborhood. And then there's those top guys, like you just said, top 10 mm-hmm. with Odunze, Neighbors, Harrison Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. feels like the one guy that might be in the teens somewhere.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He was just incredible at the combine. He was incredible in his final season at LSU. I mean, led the nation in touchdown catches with 17. You know, just a big-time vertical threat. And goes to the combine. He has the fastest flying 20, which are the final 20 yards of the 40-yard dash of any player. And the dude weighs like 210 pounds. And, I mean, he ran faster in his flying 20, the final 20 yards mm-hmm. of the 40-yard dash than Xavier Worthy did. And all of his other measurables were insane. So, and Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, picking at number 15, he is a fool for athletic traits and production. And Brian Thomas has both of those. So I kind of feel like that would be Brian Thomas's floor. And they could definitely use a wideout. They need to build up, you know, the supporting cast for Anthony Richardson.
Very good. Yes, I quoted that line from your mock draft recently. A fool for measurable athleticism, you might have written about Ballard. Evan Silva on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Let's talk about the top of this draft, Evan. Chicago is a given at one at this point, but there's no given at two or in that neighborhood. This is what we're used to, right? Speculation, you know. It'd be nice to know who the sources are, like what Washington wants us to know or believe with their pick. But, you know, with Caleb Williams likely going first, what do you think happens next?
I think that the number two pick is going to be Drake May, but Adam Schefter thinks that it's going to be Jaden Daniels. So that's a pretty imposing foe on the other side. but I do have Daniel Jeremiah on my side. Daniel Jeremiah does a great job, obviously, for NFL Network, and he thinks it's going to be Drake May at number two. So I think that there's still a lot of uncertainty. I wonder, has Washington even settled yet on what they're going to do? I have heard that Jaden Daniels loves Jerod Mayo, the new Patriots head coach, and would love to play for the Patriots. But, you know, if Washington at number two falls in love with Jaden Daniels and he's meeting with them on Monday, then Washington may pick him, and New England may not have the opportunity to pick him.
Right.
So I still think it's like very 50-50. Right now I'm projecting Drake May at number two, but, again, I don't think anybody would be surprised if it's Jaden Daniels there either.
How much, if any, you've got – I'm about to ask a question that maybe you answer by telling us that you have May at two. Brian Kelly, the LSU coach at Daniels and Neighbors and Thomas Jr.'s pro day, mentioned Washington. Like, he's going to complete a lot of passes for Washington. Did that have any impact on betting that you know of? It sounds like you just cast it over there and just thought the guy just maybe misspoke.
That video almost seemed like edited in. Like, it didn't seem right.
Yeah.
when he said that, you know. So I don't know what to make of that. That would be it would be kind of surprising, I think, that if Washington had made that decision already,
mm-hmm.
At that point in time when he said that. So I kind of chalk it up with a huge grain of salt. I don't know. That video just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It didn't seem like it was like overly reliable.
You know what would be fun? If one of these years, a team like this literally said who they were taking, and then we would all just we'd be asking ourselves whether they were being truthful. Like, no, we're taking May. Right. But they don't have to by saying that. They don't do this for different reasons because, like, I don't know, yeah. Optics or whatever. But that would make it interesting, wouldn't it, if Washington, you know, a month ago had said, no, we're going to take – if they take Caleb Williams, we'll take May. And then, I don't know, would we trust that if that ever happened?
That would be a first.
That would be a first.
How about the
I think they wouldn't do that because just on the off chance that they get blown away with some sort of a trade offer, you know, from Minnesota or something like mm-hmm. that, you know. So I don't know. There's a little bit too much to lose, I think, for a team to actually do that. But mm-hmm. that would be interesting. It would be a first.
Well, you mentioned Minnesota, and that's where I was about to go. The teams beyond the top three there, we don't know that they'll all, you know, do quarterback. Maybe the Patriots get out of there. Who knows? But the Vikings, the Broncos, like the Raiders, the teams in the, you know, is it 10, 11, 12 there, or 12, 13, 4, whatever.
11, 12, 13.
Okay, 11, 12, 13. Someone going to come up there, right? The Cardinals, the Chargers, that's where you get your fourth quarterback. And do you assume that will be J.J. McCarthy?
I do assume that the fourth quarterback will be J.J. McCarthy, but you're right. That zone, 11 through 13, Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, they all need a quarterback. So what I did in my first mock draft was I went 11 Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, 12 Broncos, Bo Nix, which I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that. But the Broncos don't have a second-round pick, and they need a quarterback. And Sean Payton has, like, never traded down. So I think that there is a chance that they could sit and pick there, although I think it would be a reach. And then Raiders, Michael Penix, you know, he's a player because of his vertical passing capability. He's a player that, like, Antonio Pierce, the coaching staff could sell to Mark Davis because that's the classic Al Davis type of quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you know, that ability to throw the football down the football field. And Michael Penix has that. So that's how I have him mocked right now. We'll see how it goes.
Are there any other trade ideas that, like, you're sort of expecting or at least half expecting? I mean, the Minnesota one has been out there ever since they made the trade with Houston. It seems almost too obvious. Is there a certain other team that you expect to move?
Well, the Seahawks have a long history of moving down, and they're kind of in that weird spot at number 16 overall. So I think that, and I mean, they need another roster replenishment. So I think that they could definitely be a candidate to at least try to move down. They need a lot of help on defense and on the interior.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Offensive line, like, they have to come out of this draft with at least one starter on the interior offensive line and one starter on defense.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's 16. The Bills are at 28. This is similar to last year, where, again, we're thinking wide receiver. The four in a row go, starting with Seattle, I think it's 20-23, like those picks a little bit ahead of the Bills. I wonder about these teams. Maybe Brian Thomas goes to Indianapolis at 15. Okay. These teams after that may or may not be in the receiver game. And the players are thought to be so good. And you've got even teams like Dallas, Evan, maybe. Like, could they justify it? Could Pittsburgh trading Deontay? That'll be interesting. You've got a strong offensive line group here, too. And, you know, probably other positions, maybe edge. But that's when it's pins and needles time around here, is those picks and whether they're into A.D. Mitchell or whoever it might be.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at, like, the Jaguars. Like, I don't think the Jaguars had any intention of losing Calvin Ridley. I mean, entering the season with what they have right now at wide receiver is unacceptable. And I think that they, you know, the Titans, you know, in the same division, just came in and swooped Calvin Ridley off his feet with a monster contract offer that no one foresaw coming. So I think that they are actually a candidate if Brian Thomas somehow slips past the Colts, you know, for the Jaguars to take him, or maybe even reach for A.D. Mitchell. And the Bengals, with this T. Higgins at 18, with this T. Higgins situation kind of hanging over their head, they also could be a candidate to take a wide receiver.
Evan, it's great to catch up with you. I'm sure you're going to love the draft. Great, by the way, to see John Daigle back with you guys. Fellow Martini fan, by the way, Bulldog Daigle. He and I had martinis in Canton at the Expo and then in Vegas. So, like, I don't meet many friends who are, that's their drink. But
I don't know a lot about martinis, but I've always heard when you're in Canton, you got to go for a martini.
Well, I'll tell you what, John Daigle, and I speak from personal experience, makes a dangerous dirty martini. Dangerous.
Yes.
I like that. I like that description.
In Canton, I drank his by mistake, by the way.
I remember this story.
Yeah, that was not a proud moment. Okay. Thanks for your time, Evan, as always.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Evan Silva, Established the Run here on WGR. Some draft speculation. Didn't think to ask him about running back. on his podcast that we mentioned a few times, they went through like the odds, right? They're talking about props, which in New York State, again, we don't have access to, but who the first running back will be. And Evan made a case for Blake Corum. He's not here to make it now, but I heard him do it.
Call him back quick.
Out of Michigan, maybe the Chargers, you know, he could be, mm-hmm. he's like fifth or sixth in the odds, but first running back picked. And they didn't mention Braylon Allen, who I wonder like if that's completely out of the realm, but the logic makes sense that if you don't have any running backs picked in the first round and a half, it really is what kind of running back do you want? And there could be a number of guys that fit your team's profile. If it were the Bills, I sincerely hope it isn't in round two.
Me
but
too.
Braylon Allen has made the most sense to me and yeah. maybe to you.
I saw a clip of Greg Cosell. I don't think it was with Brownie and Tasker. Maybe it was part of the Ross Tucker football podcast. Cosell does a lot of this sort of stuff. He's a regular with the One Bills Live guys and with Ross and with Doug Farrar. Anyway, one of those three venues, I'm almost sure, is where I saw a clip of Cosell talking about this player, Allen, Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
Running back. It's like he just doesn't perform like the big man that he is. Like he just, his style of running is a concern to him looking at him on tape. Like it just, he doesn't display the traits that a guy that size usually would display. Mm-hmm. So that sort of gave me I don't want the Bills to draft a running back early anyways. But that guy was interesting to me just based on the measure, you know, what I saw on my computer screen, his height and weight. Oh, okay. The Bills don't have a big guy. They could use a big guy. Here's a big guy. What I don't want is a big guy who thinks he's CJ Spiller or something. Like, no thanks. I don't need a shifty big guy that isn't good at the shifty. Like, he's got some idea in his head. So I don't know. It's one guy's opinion. Just sharing it. Like, Allen and I got a little red flag feel for now because
interesting.
Of Greg Cosell.
Who is your red flag feel player? 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll look for your calls again after sports. This is WGR.
Next quarterback to win a Super Bowl that hasn't won yet.
I like Josh Allen a lot. I'd pick Josh.
Josh?
Yeah. I like Josh a lot as a guy, as a leader. But, you know, he's got to get past the Chiefs, and that's hard because Patrick's incredible in the way he leads that team.
Tom Brady on the Deep Cut podcast.
I'll say how much I appreciate him not adding on to that point about, you know, getting past Mahomes. That's tough. Sort of like when I was in the AFC. I'm glad he didn't, like, drop that on us. It's, you know, it's true. I'm glad he didn't feel the need to remind us.
Me too. Also, that's not the deep end. We've not been able to get Brady yet. On the deep end. That's the deep cut.
Try a little harder.
I wouldn't want to have Brady on.
Yeah, typical.
You can guess every answer, right?
Nice defeatist attitude.
Unfunny, uninteresting. Just the only reason anybody cares at all is because it's Tom Brady talking. Right?
Didn't he also make some news about talking about coming back late in a season or something if somebody needed him?
On this podcast,
the same podcast?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did that happen? Or that did not happen.
No, but like moving forward, I mean, he's like saying like if, you know, we get into the season and somebody needs me in December, like I'm always in good shape. I can throw the ball. Like you wouldn't rule it out.
He specifically mentioned Las Vegas and New England.
Yeah.
I just do not have any room in my life for this.
It just could be that that Sneaky Joe's bet about him playing in the Bills' new stadium, you know, still could be alive. That's all I'm mentioning here. That is still up there, isn't it, somewhere?
It is. Joe is quite the player. He did pay me for Mike Krzyzewski not coming back by now. We had a bet on that. We have the Tannehill bet that I am not paying off yet because I still don't know. It's not over.
That's right.
It would be pretty amazing at this point if Ryan Tannehill starts and wins the Super Bowl.
Hey, we just saw Joe Flacco go from the wilderness to winning a play. Well, no, they got their faces caved in. But still, he made the playoffs with the Browns. So anything can happen.
You never hear anything about Tannehill.
No.
Last year, he seemed like he could be a trade candidate. Mm-hmm. Remember the Titans GM talking about how before the draft, he kind of said, Tannehill knows what's up here.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they drafted Levis, and Tannehill was just like a non-entity. Like, nobody wanted him. Yeah. Atlanta, Washington, these other teams, nobody. What actually happened there? Tennessee just refused to deal him? Why would they do that?
That can't be what happened. I think it seems very short-sighted. Is it possible the rest of the league just thinks he's shot? I mean, I don't know. Lots of guys get chances, though. So it would surprise me if the league just has decided en masse, he can't play anymore. I don't know. All you need is the quarterback needy teams to think that, and maybe that's why you end up with no move. But
is he up, or is he still a Tennessee Titan?
I think he is still a Tennessee Titan.
2024, no base salary, signed, dead cap. He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. Okay. All right.
I think Spotrac. I think he's a free agent.
He's a free agent.
Nobody? Like, he's a backup now.
Right.
Last year, that didn't happen.
But he's not even... Like, Jacoby Brissett is in New England. The expectation is... whatever. They certainly could draft a young guy. And so there's Jacoby Brissett to hold his hand. And just in case the kid's not ready, we've got a veteran. Tannehill doesn't meet that threshold for some...
That's what I'm saying.
What
Brissett,
are we doing here?
Darnold, Minshew. Is there someone else too? Brissett, Darnold, Minshew. All the same thing.
Yep.
Veteran insurance policy guys, placeholder guys. We'll try to get a rookie, maybe. If it happens, it happens. But we've got this guy, Tannehill. Is he above that? Like, would he have chosen not to pursue an opportunity like that? What's going to happen instead?
Right. And what, like, Denver has got what? I mean,
Denver.
They're going to draft somebody, but they don't have even this. They got Jarrett Stidham. Maybe?
That's right. So they're the same thing without having made this one move.
Yeah,
like the other teams we talked about.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little weird that Tannehill can't. I wouldn't have minded him as a backup idea here. I might have even preferred it to Mitch Trubisky. I'm pretty positive Mitch Trubisky cannot play.
That's how I'm going to have to win this bet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to back into it. I'm going to have Tannehill be like Foles.
Right.
Somebody's backup.
Yep.
The starter gets hurt. He gets the game and wins it.
Yep.
Kansas City signed Carson Wentz.
I saw that. And again, Tannehill can't find a job.
I don't know. Now it's probably sounding like we think he's way better than he is, but.
No, he's at least
Minshew.
He's at least the equal of these other people I think we've talked about, unless we are just missing something. And like I led with here, the league has reached a consensus like, no, he sucks. Don't touch him. He's radioactive. I don't know.
That can't
be it. It's weird. I know. That can't be it either. But I don't know what else makes sense, because he is at least the equal, I think, of some of the names we've just talked about, if not all of the names we've just talked about.
Well, time's running out on me on that one.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
You're not.
No, yeah, I am. I don't have.
No, you don't want to see Ryan Tannehill win a Super Bowl.
Well,
that's one more year, unless it's here.
Yeah,
it's not going to be here.
Good point.
That would have been a great answer from Brady. There would have been the first interesting thing he's ever said.
Ryan Tannehill.
Like, who's the next quarterback to win one that hasn't won? I think Ryan Tannehill's long overdue.
He's got to find a team to play for.
Yeah. By the way, if it didn't, I'm just going to force this here now. If it didn't come across when we were talking to Evan Silva, when I had that idea that Washington or any team, it's got to be a team near the top of the draft or at the top. If it were to go public and say, this is who we're taking, I'm not saying they have to mean it. They don't have to mean it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. And one reason why they're not going to do it is... it's just weird if they pick someone else, but they could try to kind of laugh it off the way, kind of in sort of the same spirit as most of our conversations about mock drafts and predict, isn't my job here to mislead you? Why would I tell you the truth? And then the next year, the same GM is asked again and he says a name, and now you really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think should be something. Somebody out there should be that guy that will just be like, the team that has the reputation for being the most forthcoming about its draft plans is Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh is usually the most predictable draft team because, like, the enough more than the usual amount. How many are, what's the usual amount? One or two or zero of people who know what the pick is going to be. There's, with Pittsburgh, that gets out. Like, they don't hide it. Najee Harris was this. Pickett was this. Like, people knew it was going to be those guys as it got at least close to the draft. So, I don't know. They, again, pick in that same sort of range. 19, 20, 20, the Steelers. They could be a problem.
Yeah, they traded away, I don't know, was Johnson their top receiver? I mean, I know Pickens is there, whatever, but they traded away a big-name receiver. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They've got new quarterbacks to play with. So we know their reputation, but still, could they use a receiver? Sure. Yeah, I mean, they make sense.
What if a team is hoping for Brian Thomas Jr. or even Odunze, and those guys get picked, and they trade their first to the Bengals for Higgins? Is that like, I'm not sure there was a previous move with the A.J. Brown trade or Hollywood Brown trade where those guys went for first-round picks. Like, a team was up, and, you know, the pick was traded for those players.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's something where T. Higgins might make that possible, like his status.
Yeah.
Like if you're the Bengals, would you trade T. Higgins for Brian Thomas?
Yes.
Maybe, right?
Yeah, I would. I don't even say maybe. Like I'm for a year, I might be down because I'm trading. I've lost Boyd already, but if I can turn Higgins into Brian Thomas Jr. in some way, I would 100% do that. Because I'm not keeping Higgins. He's due the big contract. I'm going to pay Chase. So we know this has been the roadmap for the Bengals for two off seasons now. It's coming. They're going to have to make a decision. And right now their decision is to sort of push it off. That's what the franchise tag is. This is a permanent situation, but we've got you. We want you. If I could turn that into a 21-year-old or 22-year-old receiver on a rookie contract that could be just as good, if not better, than T. Higgins, like that's the ceiling, of course, that's the ideal scenario, I absolutely try that. Because I'm a year away from him walking out the door, because I'm not going to franchise tag him a second time, because by then I will already have paid Chase, so I'm not going to have $60 million of receiver on my team for a single year. However I can structure the cap hits and stretch it out and whatever. So, yeah, I would 100% do that.
That team in that trade scenario is then signing T. Higgins mm-hmm. to the big contract.
Right.
They want him to be their wide receiver one.
Yep.
I guess it wouldn't be Thomas because what I laid out is some team with an interest in him loses out. And then they make this T. Higgins trade. So, like the Bengals would maybe want Mitchell or whoever the next guy is on this list, or even a player at a different position, and then they go to round two for their receiver.
I think, given what happened a couple of years ago, you already mentioned Brown, both Browns, Marquise Brown and A.J. Brown being traded during round one of the draft, I don't know that Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins are going to be moved, but history tells us like those trades had just happened a couple of years ago at the draft. Like I'm on alert, and that includes the Bills. Like any receiver needy team that might want to jump the line, the downside to jumping the line is it's not a rookie contract anymore. I'm paying the guy $30 million. He walks in the door, and I'm paying him. And that's, you know, the certainty of getting the performer versus, you know, the speculation of what the draft pick ends up being. So you gotta rectify that somehow. But yeah, I could see either one of those guys getting traded. You know, I don't know what Seattle's going to be up to. We talked about DK Metcalf earlier in the week. Anybody that's in that realm, depends where your team is at quarterback-wise, and that affects your entire timeline. If I've got a big-name, highly paid receiver who either is up and do the big contract, already has it, but I got my eraser out. I'm starting over. Maybe I'm drafting a new quarterback, whatever I'm doing. I'm looking to trade that guy. If somebody wants to buy them from me, I'm cool with that. I'm just going to start over with a young guy.
That's another interesting element of the conversation is the Ayuk, you know, conglomerate receivers that you might be able to go get. There is a receiver available in free agency who was not that long ago the most productive receiver in the league. And he is not on a team, and I just never hear his name. I'll just throw his name in when we continue here. 803-0550 is the number for your calls. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on a Friday. This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Some more NFL draft speculation. We love it. It's rampant. We are definitely part of the problem. Coming up at the top of the hour, Brian Koziol on the Masters.
The top of the hour at 6. The top
at
of the
6.
Hour.
Yes. I was pausing to see if you were going to butt in and ask me how I was going to, wondering if I was going to say Masters again. But I didn't. I wouldn't say that. I would not say that.
I'm right into shutdown mode now.
Speaking of shutdown mode, the Sabres own Washington. Don't you kind of want Washington? Yes or no? I don't want to load the question. Do you want Washington to miss now because the Sabres kind of are responsible? Or would you rather not watch the Islanders? Are the Islanders so offensive that you kind of want Ovechkin in, or even the Flyers, Ovechkin in the playoffs?
I've loved Ovechkin. I can't stand this Washington team. I hadn't thought about the Islanders. I would rather watch this terrible Washington team in the playoffs than the Islanders 100 times out of 100. It's not going to – I mean, they're 4 points back with 3 to go. So, I mean, it could happen, but
– Washes?
Washington is 4 points behind the Islanders.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they could still get in on the wild card and, you know, leave the Islanders out of it. But as far as them replacing the Islanders, I wouldn't guess that that's going to happen now.
Right. Okay.
So that's tough. None of those teams are any good. I mean, you include the Sabres in that, I suppose. But the maddening thing, the Islanders, I don't think they got their fancy 89 points. They're going to make it. They're not guaranteed to make it, but I would predict right now they're in the driver's seat. They're not any good. Washington's not any good. Philadelphia definitely isn't any good. I feel like Detroit and Pittsburgh are credible. Like I could buy them doing it. Like Pittsburgh at least still has, yes, they're as old or older than Ovechkin, but they've got more guys. Like Washington is just, I don't know how they're doing it.
Carlson.
Right.
Right.
Carlson, Letang, Malkin, Crosby. I know they traded away Gensel, but I would like to see those guys play in the playoffs way more than I'd like to see the New York Islanders play in the playoffs.
Right now it would be Pittsburgh at the Rangers, the second wild card team at the team with the better record, right? So Pittsburgh at the Rangers and Tampa at Boston. Well, the races are really close. Florida, Toronto. Well, must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice. Two games left for the Sabres tomorrow night in Florida. Big enough for the Panthers with first place at stake if they care. And then Monday in Tampa to round it out. The Sabres announced that their account executive offices are closed Monday and Tuesday. And my sinister mind went to, what? Does that make a coaching change likelier or less likely or neither? Is it just what they wrote is they deserve a couple of days off, these people, which, you know, that's fine.
Okay.
They
sure.
probably do. Everybody does. Yeah. They probably do. But like when they fire a coach or when they don't, are the Sabres like flooded with calls? Is that something that happens where people, are they like us where people just call to complain?
I don't know. Yeah, like would firing the coach be a call to action? Like, oh, I'm going to go get my tickets now. I'm calling right now.
They'd want to be open for that.
Right, right.
they'd want to be open for that.
Yeah.
Maybe they go to Lindy next Wednesday and those guys are going to work double. Maybe that's what they're going to do. They're closed Monday and Tuesday so their account executives can be open all night on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that do that, though? Wouldn't a Lindy move be considered fun and interesting? And
yes. Yes.
The fans would like that.
And also, it's credible enough to not qualify as a like a publicity stunt type hire. Like just paint a big yellow smiley face on the organization. Like, so, sorry, we screwed up again, but here's Lindy. You know, sort of Marv Levy, Ted Nolan, like that sort of thing. I think Lindy, that there's, it's credible. The ties to the organization are obvious, but he was coaching as recently as a month and a half ago in the NHL and had a great season last year with the Devils. So yeah, I think it would. It's a very good like meeting of the, if there are dueling agendas, like what would be popular and what would be smart and maybe helpful. I think those things can meet in the middle.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. 803-0550 for your calls. Hope to hear from some of you next hour on the draft. Who you want, who you definitely don't want, or what you definitely do or do not want. Sorry if that was confusing. We'll talk golf with Brian in just over an hour. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.